Hope you've had a good week and that the Lord blesses you in the week to come. Next Sunday, Labor Day weekend, there is a special singing workshop in the Church of Christ in Bellevue. And a couple of our worship leaders will be there, and so I will be leading worship next week so that they can go to that singing workshop and enjoy it and pick up whatever new tools they can for their own worship leading here. And so that I can lead worship, Jim Mendenhall will be preaching next week. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that and looking forward to it. And so we'll take a little break from our study of the Holy Spirit next week, unless that's what Jim's speaking about. He hasn't told me yet, so we'll find out next Sunday. So we'll take a break, at least from my part of that series. But today, we're going to be looking at a couple of sections from Jesus' extended teaching to his apostles in John chapters 14 to 16. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, either in print or digitally, go ahead and open up to John chapter 14, and that's where we'll be getting started. We looked at the overall theme of this section of John a few months ago, last February, in our study from the Gospel of John. So in John 14, it's just after the Last Supper. Jesus knows that he is going to be arrested that night and that he will be rushed through trial and then he will be crucified right after that. It'll just be the next morning that he's crucified. So within 24 hours, he will be dead and gone. And he knows this. But he also knows that he will soon rise again as well. And then after he rises from the dead, he will not stay with his disciples long, but he will soon go to be with God the Father. So John 14 through 16 is sometimes considered to be Jesus' farewell address, his saying goodbye to his disciples, because he tells the disciples no less than 12 times that he is going away. And then he adds statements like, "In a little while, you will see me no more," or, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you," which, of course, can only mean that he is going away first. So Jesus, who is about to leave his apostles, first briefly through his death, and then for a very long time when he returns to God the Father, gives them this teaching to prepare them for life after Jesus in the flesh. Here's how to live for Jesus when he is no longer with them in bodily form. What I want to focus on in this teaching today is two sections in chapters 14 to 16. In which Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. And the question that I bring to these texts this morning, continuing our series on the Holy Spirit, is what does the Holy Spirit do, according to Jesus, in these passages? And how does the Holy Spirit's work, as described by Jesus here, translate into our time and our lives today? So the first section in which Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit begins in John 14 and verse 15. Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is our first section in which Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' concern in this section of his teaching centers around a couple of issues. One is the love between the Father and Jesus the Son and Jesus' disciples. And so verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands." Verse 21, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them." Verse 23, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Jesus is leaving, but he wants his disciples to keep the love that they share with Jesus and the Father strong. Obey Jesus' commands. Do what's right, and they will continue to enjoy the love of both God the Father and Jesus the Son. And so the relationship that they share is very important to Jesus here as he is about to leave. And then the other issue here is the actual leaving. But Jesus wants his followers to understand that even when he is gone, they will not be alone. So verses 16 and 17, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." And then he says, "You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Verse 18, Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Verse 20, "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And verse 23, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So Jesus is about to leave, but his disciples will never be alone. The Father, in some sense, and Jesus himself, in some sense, will be with them and will make their home with them. There's a lot of relational language here as Jesus stresses the relationship that they have and that they will not be alone. And then there's this one Jesus calls the advocate who will be in them too. Advocate here translates the Greek term parakletos, which does not have an exact parallel in English. It usually meant a legal advocate who would assist you with a legal case or in court, but it could be more than that also. Maybe someone who stood by your side or spoke up for you in some official capacity. And so our English translations translate this term as advocate or helper or counselor or comfort, or something along these lines. You'll probably see one of those terms in the translation that you're using this morning. Advocate is probably as good a translation as any. This advocate is the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls him the Holy Spirit, specifically in verse 26. He calls him the Spirit of truth in verse 17. And so what does Jesus say the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will do? This is why we've come to this text this morning. So in verse 16, this advocate, the Holy Spirit, will help the apostles and will be with them forever. So he's going to assist them in their lives as Jesus' followers and in their unique work of being Jesus' emissaries to the world, the eyewitnesses of his death and resurrection, the people on whose testimony generations all the way down to us will base their faith. The Holy Spirit will help them. And the Holy Spirit will never leave them. Jesus is going away, first to death. And then after his resurrection, he will go to his Father. But the Spirit will remain with them to be the immediate presence of God in their lives. Verse 17, "He lives with you and will be in you." The Spirit won't just be around. He will be close. And will have an intimate relationship with the apostles. He will share life with them. He will somehow be in them. Verse 26, "He will be sent from the Father in Jesus' name, at Jesus' request," according to verse 16. "He will teach the apostles all things and will remind them of everything Jesus had said to them, everything he had taught them." And we believe that this is how the apostles and those who ministered with them were able to write down so much of what Jesus said and did in the scriptures that we have now. They kept a record of this and were able to because the Holy Spirit reminded them, inspired their minds to remember what Jesus had said. So the Spirit would guide their minds to remember and to learn. As Jesus had taught them when he was with them, so now the Holy Spirit would be with them and would teach them, especially in connection with the things they had learned from Jesus. And then Jesus follows up these words about the Holy Spirit with the blessing of peace in verse 27, saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus was going away, but the love of God for Jesus' followers would remain strong. And God would send the Holy Spirit to be with them and to guide them. And so they would not be alone. And Jesus did not want them to let their hearts be troubled or be afraid, even in his departure. He wanted them to have peace in the knowledge that even when he had gone, God would still be there with them and would give them everything they needed to live in him and to carry out the work that Jesus had for them to do. Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit again a little while later in our second part of John 14 to 16 to look at this morning. It's in the middle of a discussion of the persecution and the pressure that his followers will face in the days ahead. So let's pick up in chapter 15, verse 18. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." This is our second section of this extended teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 to 16. The main issue in this section of Jesus' teaching here is the pressure and sometimes the violent persecution that Jesus' followers are going to face because they belong to him. A time is coming, Jesus says in chapter 16, verse 2, when people will force the apostles out of the synagogue. They won't even be allowed to worship with other Jews anymore. And there will even come a time, Jesus says, when anyone who kills you will think that they are offering a service to God, but they don't really know the Father or Jesus. And this prophecy that Jesus gives here about this persecution began to be fulfilled as early as Acts chapter 7 through 9, in some of the earlier years of the church, when Christians like Stephen, the first martyr, and the people whom Saul persecuted were sometimes killed by devout Jews trying to serve God by protecting the purity of the Jewish faith. They thought they were doing the right thing, but they didn't know the Father or the Son. More generally, Jesus says the world may hate the disciples because the world hated Jesus first. They belong to Jesus. They hate the Father and they hate the Son, so it's no surprise they may hate Jesus' followers as well. But in the middle of all of that pressure and persecution that will come from unbelievers, there will be the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. In the context of the hardship that Jesus' followers will face, what will the Holy Spirit do? Chapter 15, verse 26. Jesus will send the Holy Spirit from the Father, which is interesting because earlier he said the Father will send the Holy Spirit. Both Jesus and God the Father send the Spirit. They do this together. And the Spirit will testify about Jesus. And the apostles must testify too, Jesus says in verse 27, because they were with Jesus and were eyewitnesses of him and students of his teaching. And so when there's resistance, and maybe violent resistance, to their testimony about Jesus, and when testifying gets really hard, the Holy Spirit will be there testifying alongside them. Even at those moments, they will not be alone. They will not be alone in their hearts, and they will not be alone in the work that God has given them to do, testifying about Jesus. In chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, when Jesus goes away, the Advocate will come, he says. And if you're curious about why Jesus said the Spirit would not come unless Jesus went away, take a look at my article in the bulletin. I tried to address that issue there. And when the Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Much like Jesus had been doing in his life and teaching, proving that the ways of God are right and that the world does not do right as much as it thinks it does, and that the world is wrong in thinking that it will not be judged by God because it follows the devil who already stands condemned. Just as Jesus has been doing this in his physical presence on the earth, so now the Holy Spirit will receive the baton from Jesus to carry on this ministry of confronting the world with the truth of God. Chapter 16, verse 13. The Spirit of truth will guide the disciples into all truth, including all the things Jesus wanted to say to his apostles that night that they just weren't ready for. The Spirit won't make anything up. Jesus says the Spirit will speak only what he hears. He will receive a message from Jesus and relay it on to his followers. Some of that will include telling the apostles what is yet to come, prophesying the future. And this, we believe, is how the apostles were empowered to give prophecy in their writings that are now our scriptures. The Holy Spirit revealed to them what was yet to come. And so, verse 14, he will glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not work for his own glorification, but for the glorification of Jesus, who himself works for the glory of God the Father, as Jesus will mention in chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. So whenever the world turned against Jesus' followers, the Holy Spirit would be with them at those moments, testifying with them about the truth of Jesus. proving the world to be wrong about things like sin and righteousness and judgment, guiding the disciples into all truth, everything that Jesus gave the Spirit to tell them, revealing sometimes what was yet to come, and in everything bringing glory to Jesus. We see a lot of this work of the Holy Spirit fulfilled in the events recorded in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, persecution comes against the church and against the apostles almost immediately after Jesus returns to God the Father. But the Holy Spirit stands with the church and with the apostles to continue to help them continue in their work, to give them strength. And he gives power to the apostles to perform amazing miracles that prove that their message about Jesus is true. In Acts, the Holy Spirit teaches the apostles and the church. Maybe the greatest example is how the Spirit taught them about the will of God, that non-Jewish believers be accepted into the church as full members of the body of Christ without having to become Jews first. In one place in chapter 15, when this all kind of comes together, the apostles and the elders in the church in Jerusalem write to their brothers and sisters in the non-Jewish churches. And they say, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything required in the law of Moses, except just a few commands that have always applied to all people, not only to Jews." The Holy Spirit had revealed to them through events and through ancient prophecy and even through a vision given to Peter that this was the will of God. So the Holy Spirit taught, the apostles taught the church. In Acts and in the writings of the apostles Peter and Paul, and especially in the book of Revelation, there are prophecies. Sometimes they're attributed directly to the Holy Spirit. In Revelation, for example, the whole vision that John receives from the beginning all the way through the end is mediated to him through the Spirit. He will say fairly often, "I was in the Spirit." And he will tell us what he saw. So after Jesus returned to God the Father, the Holy Spirit did exactly the sorts of things that Jesus had said that he would do. So how do we translate these things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do into our time and our lives today? I think these things he talks about still coalesce around the two big issues that Jesus focused on in these texts in which he mentions the Holy Spirit. The first of those is the presence of God in our lives, this close relationship that God wants to have with us who follow Jesus, that is shared between God and Jesus and Jesus' followers, in which God loves us and His Holy Spirit lives in us and remains with us forever. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives continues to be a sign of God's love for us. Romans 5, verse 5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The closeness of God to us through the presence of His Spirit in our lives is still evidence of His love today. He has poured out His love into our hearts through the giving of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And so God is never as far away as we might sometimes feel like He is. He is very near through His Spirit. And so when you feel alone, or isolated, even depressed, remember that if you follow Jesus, God has come near to you, into your heart, through the Holy Spirit. You may not feel it. We don't always feel it, but you know it. You are not alone. The disciples were not alone when Jesus returned to God. And God's people today are never left alone. God's Spirit lives within us. So as Jesus told His disciples, "Be at peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." And then second, living for God in a world that often does not love Him was a part of Jesus' focus as He spoke with His apostles. He warned his disciples that they would be hated, they would be persecuted, and he told them about this in advance so that when the time came, they would remember that he had warned them about this, and they would not lose heart. We too live in a time when there are people who stand against our faith, and there are even some who hate us because we belong to God. So what does the Holy Spirit do today? When people disapprove of us, or when our neighbors do not obey God, or when the values of society clash with our values as followers of Jesus, where is the Holy Spirit at that time? The first thing the Holy Spirit does at that time is he stands with us. He works inside us. He teaches us, and he reminds us of the things that Jesus taught us. Have you ever had one of those moments when something was going on, and it seemed like God brought into your mind at that exact moment the perfect passage of Scripture for the situation you were in? Something you had studied sometime before, a week before, or a month, or a year, or 10 years before, and suddenly it came back to you, and it fit the situation perfectly. The Holy Spirit does things like that. He teaches us. He reminds us. Or let's say you're struggling with an issue in your life, and a sister in the church is talking with you and just happens to say just the right thing that helps you suddenly understand how you can do what God wants you to do. The Spirit does that kind of work in his church, working in both her and you to teach you how to walk in the will of God. The Spirit teaches us and reminds us. It's not easy to be a Christian in a world that does not often follow Christ. But the Holy Spirit helps us to live faithfully, to obey the commands of Jesus. He guides us into all truth, not by himself, but by bringing to us the things that Jesus taught us. And so he never speaks to us in contradiction to the teachings of Scripture, because the Spirit himself inspired what was written in Scripture. And so how can he contradict himself? But he will give us insight, help us connect the dots, help us to understand it more clearly than we have before. Guide us in how we should live in this broken and troubled world as we live out our testimony in Jesus. And if the first thing the Spirit does is to work inside us, then the second thing he does in the context of a world that is not always friendly to the Lord is to work outside us. He himself testifies about Jesus. And it's not like he adds to our ministry, that he comes in and kind of helps support what we do. I think it's the other way around, that he testifies by his own work in the world, and our testimony adds to his. I think we see this most clearly whenever a person comes to Christ. And if you get the chance to talk with them and ask, how did you come to Christ? What brought you to Jesus? It might have been someone's example. It might have been something someone said. But generally, it's all of the above and more. It was someone's example, or it was another person's words, or it was the testimony and character of the church, or it's the person's own eyes being opened to spiritual truths that they had never considered before or had never quite accepted. A lot of times, it's all of those together. All of this is the work of the Spirit of truth. He works in a variety of ways to testify about the truth of Jesus. The Spirit also, Jesus said, proves that the world is wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, these core issues in people's relationships with God. So when you talk religion with your dear friend who is an atheist, and you're getting into a conversation where you're not sure which way it might go, it might not be your brilliant spiritual insights alone that hopefully persuade your friend to follow Jesus. It may well be other influences of the Spirit as well in their life, as the Spirit proves them wrong about their perception of God and things like sin and righteousness and judgment, and reveals to them what is true. And so saving the world then, Or even just saving a family member or a friend or a student or neighbor, that task does not fully rest on our own shoulders. We are not strong enough to carry that kind of load. But the Holy Spirit is hard at work in the world to this day, bringing glory to Jesus through us and alongside us. He works inside us to help us be faithful. And he works outside us to bring people to the truth of God. The Spirit shares with us, or rather we share with him, the eternally blessed and arduous and rewarding work of bringing glory to Jesus in a broken world. We are not alone, not in our hearts, not in our labor in the Lord. We may not be able to see Jesus like Peter did, like John did, like Matthew did. And God the Father is certainly beyond the boundary of our sight. But they have given us the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to be with us and to help us. And somehow, I think, that's just good to know. And God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we do live in a world that sometimes makes it hard to follow Jesus. And sometimes we struggle just in ourselves, just to be faithful, just to follow the teachings of Jesus, just to remember them and to keep them in our hearts. Thank you for your Spirit who helps us. Thank you for his help in the world around us, that he brings people to understand the truth of God, that he works to prove the world wrong, that he works to bring people to Jesus. Thank you for the way that your Spirit worked in us to bring us to Jesus. Thank you for the way that he continues to work in us, dear God, by reminding us of the things Jesus taught and by helping us to follow those things. Thank you, dear God, for giving us your Spirit, for pouring out your love into our hearts through your Spirit. Help us, Lord, in our troubled times to remember that we are not alone and to look to you and to depend on you. Lord God, I thank you that you never leave us alone, but that you are close to us through your Spirit. Thank you for Jesus our Lord, who died for us and who gave his body and his blood for us. Thank you for your Spirit who lives in us and who strengthens us and encourages us and guides us and works in us and outside us for the glory of Jesus, who works himself for the glory of our God. We give you praise and we honor you. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.